This is Rod Peterson on Demand.
No. They talk about the Cowboys every day. You understand there's 31 other NFL teams. How many Major League Baseball teams are there? 30? 32 NHL teams. They only talk about the Cowboys.
How about that?
They're America's team. And by the way, it's all just marketing. Have you watched the documentary on America's team or the football life? It was just marketing. It was the late 70s. But the football guys didn't like it.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
How about that?
How about that?
Welcome to Hour 2 of the RP Show. And good morning, Rick Riggin. Or good afternoon, where you may be in Wichita, Kansas. It's episode 337 of Canada's daytime sports talk show coming to you from the sweatpants capital. Mikey Wayne has checked in, says, good day from Beau Sejour, Manitoba. Winnipeg Jets didn't seem to do a whole lot in free agency, did they?
No. They really
did. Which is probably okay. Just to recap Hour 1, Jason Strudwick was with us. He of his 674 NHL games, alum of the Rangers, Islanders, Oilers, and Canucks. We broke down NHL free agency, and we're going to get around to that again. Peter Labardius with us, and Braden Coburn coming up here in Hour 2, plus Ty McGauley from Ohm Hockey Systems. Before we go any further, if you're just joining us, Three Down Nation has now picked up the story. I reported this morning that Edmonton is being looked at as a bubble city for the CFL in 2021. There have been 87 offshoots go off that story, not the least of which, guy writing in on my Instagram, LOL, what? There will be a vaccine by then. This guy doesn't know crap from shinola. As I was speaking with a veteran first responder yesterday in a major Canadian city, he expects they will be first to get vaccines, first responders, which makes sense. This needs to be distributed around the world. Guess what, folks? It's not going to be in your hands by spring of next year. So anyways, take it as you will. That's the story today. People are running with it. There's your CFL news. You're welcome. Let's re-up the quick six show topics, Jordan, please. Director Jordan, the unsung hero of the staff, he would like you all to know. Point one, Taylor Hall has signed with the Buffalo Sabres. It was Saturday, right? That news came down? No, it was Sunday. It was Sunday that it came down. A one-year deal, $8 million. I saw Taylor Hall on SportsCenter saying it was what was made most sense for me. Think about that for a second when we get to point four. The other, Alex Petrangelo to the Vegas Golden Knights. Those were the two biggest names off the board. They're gone, and free agency is pretty much over in the NHL. Point two, the Dak Prescott injury. I feel terrible for Dak. We spent a lot of time on that in Hour 1. I feel bad for him because he doesn't have a contract by the time he'll be healed from this 4 to 6 months. But that was his decision to franchise tag himself. Nobody sees these injuries coming. He probably should have thought about it. But I wanted Andy Dalton to start in Week 1 anyways. Don't at me. Point three, Major League Baseball's down to the final four. ALCS, Tampa Bay's up 2-0 on Houston. NLCS, Atlanta's up 1-0 on LA. A lot of work's got to happen for my dream World Series, LA-Houston. Was it 2017 that the Astros got dinged for cheating? It was 2017, right? Got a chance to do it all over.
Oh, I know.
What a story. Point four, Vegas Golden Knights players are upset at lack of loyalty from management because they moved Nate Schmidt out, the very popular defenseman, to Vancouver to make room to sign Alex Petrangelo. Referring to point one, Taylor Hall, this deal makes sense for me. It's all about me in major sports and all sports, frankly. Point five, LeBron saying maybe now he'll get some damn respect after winning his championship for the Lakers the other night. And I said, LeBron, respect is earned, not demanded. And the more you flap your gums, the less respect you're going to have. And point six, as I said, I found these CFL trading cards while cleaning on the weekend. Classic stadiums, American expansion teams, Memphis Mad Dogs, classic coach Don Matthews, classic builder John Candy, classic players Dieter Brock, Michael Pinball Clemens. This is the CFL history in a box. Who's telling the CFL story right now? Who? I ask you who. It's not a rhetorical question. Who's telling it? Darren, have you come up with an answer in the last hour?
I'm trying. Justin Dunk's trying. He's trying to do his part.
He's telling the story of Canadian football. There's a difference between Canadian football and the Canadian Football League.
And there's a difference between the little bit of news that there is and telling the story of the league. Telling the story of the league is a job for the marketing department and the branding department, right? The news guys break the news, and that's great, but building the brand happens from the branding department and the marketing department.
It should. And lastly, before we go to Lou, from the 416 on the Prairie Mobile text line, from the GTA, from Ray, he says, Rod, just keep doing what you're doing. It works. What am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing. I'll get to the Capital Automall Universal Collision Center poll question in a moment. It is, which is Canada's game of the week in the CFL sim? Ottawa at Calgary, Edmonton at Hamilton, Toronto at Winnipeg. It's a must-win for the Blue Bombers to make the playoffs in our CFL Esports League. It's a bye week for Canada's team, the Rough Riders. So you fans of other CFL teams, this is your chance to see yours. Vote on it now on Twitter. Now, speaking of all that, Lou, I got a story for you. Peter Lombardi is joining us here from Calgary, or of the Calgary Flames broadcast. Hey, Lou! Good to see you, my friend.
Hey! Happy belated Thanksgiving.
Here's the story. I said, I don't know what I'm doing. It reminds me when the Pats, this new ownership group, hired Graham Tuer shortly after they bought this team 5 years ago. And Graham said to them, what do you want me to do? And they said, just be you, Graham. And Graham Tuer said, how do I do that? Couldn't you see him saying that?
Not only could I see him saying that, I think I lived him saying that, and miss him absolutely dearly. Just one of the finest, funniest, most caring, hardest working people I ever had the opportunity to be around and associated with. Not even going to share his nickname because it probably wouldn't be fair, but it's a dynamite one. And I knew it would make you laugh when I brought that up. But I will say this in all sincerity, if there were more Graham Tuer types on planet Earth, it'd be a better place.
There's no doubt. I'll tell you guys off air what his nickname is. So, Lou, first of all, how was Thanksgiving for you? I think everybody wants to know.
Outside of, what my Czech sister-in-law, Sylvie, echoes, outside of for 3 days, I overate myself. It was just awesome.
Good. I like to hear that. Save for the Vikings game, by the way. Like, look, Sunday Night Football, Vikings at Seahawks. And my gosh, can I get your take before I get what I think was Mike Zimmer blowing the game for the Vikings in the last 2 minutes?
You know what? That's why I kind of tried to cut in. I have watched 9 minutes of Vikings football this season. Nine. A total of nine. I am out. I have checked out. And the reason I have checked out is because they do not deserve right now my time or my energy. And I've started to finally learn. It's not, I described them the other day on Twitter. They're the family member or members that you love, but you sure as hell don't like them most of the time. And I don't want to be mad for 3 or 4 hours after every one of their games, which eventually is where I get to. Like, it's not fun for me anymore to watch them play. So I can honestly, I've watched 9 minutes of Viking football this season.
So when you read that Zimmer, I think, blew the game with a decision based on math at the end, you weren't surprised then?
No, not at all. No. And again, I think Mike Zimmer has done a lot of really good things as the coach of the team. My biggest beef with the Minnesota Vikings for the last number of years is while, and you have our friend Arash Madani on all the time who, I'm sure he sent a lot of Thanksgiving good wishes to Kirk Cousins. For sure, that would have been high on his list. But for me, Mike Zimmer is a defensive specialist, except in key spots, even when this team has been better, when do they get stops when it really matters? And the other night is a perfect example. Yes, do I think it was not the world's best decision to go up by 8 on the road against an elite? I don't like the Seahawks. I don't like them, but I have such admiration and respect for for Russell Wilson. But the fact of the matter is, why do people never talk about this purple team? Don't you have to get a key stop in football once in a while? Like, again, I watched 10 minutes of the Green Bay game, and again, it was Aaron Rodgers. You got to get some stops in sports, people. Like, it matters. The focus always goes on the other side. And if they had some good defenses, yeah, they have some great defensive players. But for a true defensive wizard, you could use a few more stops, I think.
Well, let's talk about what makes you happy. One, Tony Cernick writes in. He's watching. He says, Esteban says hello to Lou. Yes, oh, Lou.
You know what? This is happening soon and into 2021. It's been a long time since I've been back. I need to go back. I haven't even been back to see the new rink. It's been far too long. I am pledging that, you know, as long as we can in our world today, I am going back to Estevan, Saskatchewan, because I need to and I want to.
They say the only nicer Junior A rink in Canada is Penticton. You've been there. I haven't. I've got to take people's word for that. But Estevan is something special. So there's viewers that have questions for you, and I'll get to them in a moment. We covered the Oilers and Canucks last hour with Jason Strudwick. I just got to ask you about the Flames free agency. Their fans seem pretty excited with the signing of Jacob Markstrom and Chris Tanev and whatever else that they did. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, Roddy, guys, I would say this. It's been a revolving door for the Flames, as you guys know, in terms of goaltending. In Calgary, ever since Mika Kiprusoff and his incredible career came to an end, people have kind of wanted his replacement. Now, I think it's an awesome signing, because any time in sports where you can get the best guy available, and I've thought about this a lot on the weekend. Now, remember last summer with Sergei Bobrovsky going to Florida, it cost them $10 million a year. Well, you get Markstrom, who's had three outstanding years. This past year, he's a Vezina finalist, and you get him at 6 for 6. So I think for the first time in a long time, your goaltending scenario has been maybe not solved, but it's been solidified. And that's really, really important. However, the goaltending situation in hockey has changed. I don't think it's about just one guy anymore. I think it's about two. Look at the decision that it would appear that Kelly McCrimmon has made in Vegas with the re-upping of Robin Leonard and still with Marc-Andre Fleury. Like, we're about to go into, guys, I think, a very condensed schedule. You already, in my opinion, need two guys to begin with. But in the case of Markstrom, I think he's going to be a great fit. He has great friends already on the team. In fact, there's a rumor going out, and I'll have fun with it, that the Flames' third jersey is going to be blue and yellow with three crowns on it based on all the Swedes that they now have in their lineup. So that's a great signing. The Chris Tanev signing, I've been a massive Chris Tanev fan for a long time. A lot of people in Calgary, not necessarily in love with the term or the price, but I think for my money, he's been one of the more undervalued shutdown types in the league for quite some time. And that's not just my thoughts. That's the feedback I've gotten every time I've brought Chris Tanev's name up to any manager or any coach in the league. The only concern about Chris has been the fact that, you know, he hasn't always been healthy. So that's a bit of a concern. And one of the reasons is he just plays so darn hard. But even when you think about Tanev, and the Flames have an up-and-coming defenseman in Juuso Välimäki, former first-rounder in 2017, you guys don't think that Chris Tanev didn't make a massive difference in the year that Quinn Hughes had and the stability that he provided? So, you know, we always go, I think, guys, now, first place everybody looks when they assess is numbers. I never look at it quite like that.
I had an NHL GM say to me one time, if he could stack his team with the two S's, Swedes and Saskatchewan players, he'd have a winner. That's what he said. Colin in Ottawa says, why do Canuck fans hate Markstrom? I don't believe they do. They hate the GM, Jim Benning, for letting him get away. I've read that right, have I not, Lou?
What? Luke? You know, you have. But again, everybody's always seemed to be mad at Jim Benning. Answer me this. Have the Vancouver Canucks taken steps? Yes.
Of course.
Has he done a pretty good job building his team? Yes. Does he have some highly elite young people to go forward with? Yes. Did he grab an outstanding head coach, in my opinion, in Travis Green? Yes. But, like, why in sports and life is everything wrong all the time? How about what's right? And understanding, listen, here's a perfect example. How many people were going like this last summer when he paid a big price for JT Miller?
Nobody.
What were the people saying then? You know what? They did nothing but criticize. Where the heck would they have been this year without JT Miller? So, you know, and what did he even do yesterday? Okay, did he let his goalie go? Well, he did. But do they not have Thatcher Demko? Do they not have Michael DiPietro coming? Did they not just find Braden Holtby for a great person to play at least 1 year who's won a cup? Yes, you can't keep everyone. I don't get the feeling there. I don't. I think Jim Benning, to be frank, has helped take this team from a very difficult spot after the Sedins to look what we just watched in the playoffs.
Lou, here's what it is, in my opinion. There are sports fan bases that are hurting and have baggage. They're emotionally damaged. Vancouver hockey fans would be one. Minnesota football fans, sorry for saying. Saskatchewan football fans for a period of decades. And they just lash out. And they need a target. And in the case of Vancouver, it's Jim Benning. That's my opinion. Vikings fans, it's Kirk Cousins. You know, that's my thought on that. And before I let you, and you can answer that if you wish, but our Winnipeg viewers say we don't talk about the Jets enough. They were pretty quiet in free agency. What's your take on where they're going?
The Winnipeg Jets? You know what? I think Kevin Cheveldayoff has done an outstanding job. I felt for the Jets in the sense that, you know, they go to the conference final a couple years ago, and in some ways, the cap has penalized them a little. They did such a great job of scouting and developing to the point where they had so many good young players kind of hit the same market all at once. And again, especially now with a flat cap that looks like it's probably going to stay that way for 4 or 5 years, I think the Jets have been penalized, but they've made some savvy moves. They're going to have some tough decisions to make, starting with, you know, what happens with Patrick Laine. I think they have a great coach and a great coaching staff. They've done an excellent, excellent job under the circumstances because as COVID has, you know, allowed us to think about sports executives, we got to cut them a little slack sometimes because they're not dealing in the world today that they thought they would have been dealing in when everybody was talking about, you know, the potential of a cap going up to 87 or 88. That's a big difference, Jens, in how you plan. But guess what? All of us in life, in our own situations, have been forced to ask those questions. So all I want to put out there all the time is every time, you know, and we criticize and it gets easy and I criticize and people hear my rants about lots of different things, I just have to remind everybody to think about when things happen and they don't always fit, well, think about yourself and maybe some of the changes you've had to make to get by. That's kind of what's happened everywhere. And I know that's way off from what you just asked about the Jets, but that's what I do.
No, you stay on point. And I think the Jets have a lot of reason for optimism. Kevin Cheveldayoff's done a great job. And they're always going to be in the thick of it. And if it wasn't for injuries, as you know, would have been a much tighter playoff series against the Flames. Lou, you're a gem. Thanks for the time. Let's keep in touch here throughout the fall.
Well, listen, you guys are doing a whale of a job. You've given everybody some neat platforms, and I have many times, but I applaud you for what you've done over the last year plus. This is a good show, and you might want to give that Clark guy a raise. He's getting you some decent guests, I've found.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Yeah, he's just erupted in applause back here in his cage in the dog pound. All right. Thanks, Lou.
Credit where credit is due. Have a great day, everybody.
You bet. The hound dog. He's a hound.
Oh, yeah.
That's what Ron McLean called him. I wish Ron McLean would give me a nickname, but he gave Clark a nickname.
It works.
Braden Coburn on the way. As Clark lined that up, too, with the Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. Hang on. We'll be right back, and we'll talk about this Edmonton bubble thing, too. It's the RP show on this Tuesday, October the 13th. You're watching Canada's daytime sports talk show on Game Plus, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Laid back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm going to jump into a sports update here, then read some viewer comments. Rare Tuesday night football game tonight because of COVID-19 outbreak for the Titans. Tennessee will host the Buffalo Bills tonight. The game originally was scheduled for Sunday but was pushed back because of the virus. Two games in the Major League Baseball playoffs tonight. The Atlanta Braves have a 1-0 lead on the Los Angeles Dodgers today, heading into Game 2 of the NLCS. Meanwhile, the Tampa Bay Rays are up 2-0 on the Houston Astros with Game 3 of the ALCS series on tap tonight. Milos Raonic is off to the second round of the St. Petersburg Open. The Canadian beat American Jeffrey John Wolf in straight sets today in Russia. Fellow Canadian Vasek Pospisil plays his first round match later today. Ottawa Senators prospect Tim Stützle is set to undergo surgery after suffering an arm injury while training with his German club. The Mannheim Eagles said the forward was hurt today and will have the procedure tomorrow. The Senators took Stützle third overall in last week's draft. It was announced by Alex Trebek. San Diego Padres outfielder Tommy Pham is recovering after he was stabbed in the back Sunday night. A police spokesperson told the San Diego Union-Tribune that Pham was stabbed shortly after 10:30 p.m. outside a gentleman's club. The spokesperson said Pham apparently didn't know the attackers, who remain at large. What did Greg Zonta say about gentlemen's clubs? Great for team building. Where were his teammates there?
That would have been great for team building.
This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and drive-through liquor store at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua and Regina. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G protein bars, the best you'll ever have with seven amazing flavors. RP Show viewers get 20% off with a promo code RP Show. Order yours now at g2gbars.ca. Listen, in this time, people are online shopping. Just try out G2G bars. Get 20% off. What do you got to lose? G2GBars.ca. And also, Jason in Red Deer chimes in and says, Patrick Marleau back with the San Jose Sharks again. Third time's the charm. Yes, he signed with the Sharks today. Thank you, Jason in Red Deer, for pointing that out. Connor in Yorkton writes in and says, hey, Roddy. Hey, Connor. Nice to see you. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Oh, Braden Coburn's ready? Hey, I didn't even know. Let's do it. I'm calling up his hockey DB here. Not like we don't know. Shaunavon, Saskatchewan kid, broke into the NHL, the Atlanta Thrashers, then the Philadelphia Flyers, where he spent a lot of time. But he's been in Tampa Bay since 2014. Shaunavon, Sask, glad you asked. Rider fan joins us today. Stanley Cup champion Braden Coburn. Has that gotten old yet, Braden?
I love it. It's got a great ring to it.
Seems to me like you have not stopped celebrating. You were sitting right beside the cup on the way home. This is take me through the last, what's it been, 2 weeks? What's it been like for you, man?
Yeah, it's been 2 weeks. The first week, I got to admit, it was a blur for the most part. Lots of hanging out with the guys, lots of kind of shuffling around and extracurricular drinking and stuff like that, I guess. But it's been fun. And then, you know, this last week, it's kind of back to duty, drop-offs with the kids and youth hockey and all that kind of fun stuff.
Look, I want to get into your love for the Riders and the Saskatchewan thing and something, but what's burning for me, and my brother went to Notre Dame, same class as John Cooper. He said John's always been cool going back to grade 10. Obviously, there's something about Coops and you that clicked. But you've been there since 2014. You've had a front row seat of the ups and downs, Braden. I mean, there's been a lot of heartache there that I don't think people realize. So what does it feel to finally get to the top of the mountain, given what all you guys have been through there with the Lightning?
Well, we've had a great team for a long time. And just because you have a great team doesn't automatically give you a cup. And you know, for us as a group, we've kind of had to find a way to win. And we've got to the finals. We got game seven in the Eastern Conference Finals. And then last year was, you know, one of those things where you think you're going to take a step after having an unreal regular season and then kind of get kicked in the teeth. But, you know, we kind of found a way and we learned to win. And you kind of hear about great teams sometimes having to do that. And we were no different. So it was, I think that made that that journey and especially that kind of bubble experience together even more sweet.
Well, we see young teams that are talented just kind of blow it early on in the playoffs. The Oilers come to mind, for instance. What did you specifically learn, Braden, in terms of little things? And I'm sorry to get, but I just, what would you tell a young team that, you know, it's hard climbing that mountain? What did you learn on your way up?
Well, playoffs is, you never know what you're going to get. And, you know, there was lots of games where, you know, you'd face adversity, and I think you just have to welcome that adversity. And for us, it's, I think last year we kind of ran into a little bit of it, and it was kind of the first time all year where things didn't go right for us. And this year we came in with a different mindset. It's definitely mental. It's a mental thing, and playoffs are a one game at a time kind of thing. And for us as a group, we're just mentally stronger than we have been in the past.
Where are you at now? Have you been able to get home? Do you plan to get home? And when I mean home, I mean the 306. What's your off season like right now?
Well, I got two kids and they're in school right now. So we're here in Tampa and we're kind of just keeping an eye on what's happening with the Canadian border and the quarantine and all that stuff. I know I'd love to get back and see my family, and my wife's from Calgary and she'd love to see her family as well. But so we're just kind of keeping an eye on things and seeing when the quarantine's going to end and we can do some traveling and see some people. But at the moment, the kids are in school, so it's we're stuck here.
Seems like a good place to be. And now some viewers have questions for you, Braden. But first, let me ask you this. As a guy that spent 20 years with the Rough Riders, it made my heart warm to see you wearing that rider lid, carrying the cup, putting it on the plane. You are very rarely photographed without a rider hat on, from what I've seen. What do the Saskatchewan Rough Riders mean to you?
I think for me, it's pride in the province. I'm as proud as any guy to be from Saskatchewan. You know, I feel like it's part of my DNA. It's part of who I am. Growing up in Shaunavon and the southwest corner of Saskatchewan, I know. You know, that's, for me, that's just, that's who I am. And doesn't matter where I go or where I'm living at the time, it's always part of me. So the Riders for me are a symbolism of that.
Have you been able to be to a game in the new stadium, A, and B, obviously you've been to the old place. What memories do you have of there?
Well, I when I was in Notre Dame, we played in the Regina League there, and I got to play a couple games playing for the Hounds football team. So got to play a couple games at Taylor Field. It was very exciting for me, and I haven't been to the new one yet, but I can't wait to go.
Well, here's the amazing thing. NHL Radio asked me last year when the Blues were on their way to their run. They're saying, it looks like the Stanley Cup's going to come back to Saskatchewan. When's the last time it was there? I said, it comes every summer, guys. Last year it was here with Chandler Stephenson. Then it came with three guys with the Blues. And now, of course, you're being asked if you're going to be bringing it home. Let me guess, you don't know? What's the answer to that?
Yeah, we're still trying to figure it out. I know the guys are kind of eager to hear an answer, but it's kind of, we're on the mercy of what happens with the border, I guess. And you know, I know a lot of the guys, I was talking to a lot of guys that are overseas and their countries are kind of, they're in the same boat. So we're trying to figure it out. It's an unusual year but kind of crossing my fingers and saying my prayers that we're going to be able to do a proper celebration in Shaunavon.
Good to hear. Well, so yeah, we'll know when you know, I guess. Please let us know. John in Edmonton wants to know, can you ask him about why the NHL's not happy with the celebrations held in Tampa Bay? I'd like to know his take. Did that get down to you, Braden, that the NHL thought you guys were partying a little too much and too close with fans?
Well, I just kind of read it through the media, but, you know, I guess they're encouraging social distancing. That didn't always happen. So I guess we kind of got a little bit of a little pee-pee slap, I guess.
Hey, it happens. And I don't think the Lightning were apologizing too much. John in Winnipeg's watching. He says, I'd love to see Braden in a Winnipeg Jets uniform. It's closer to Riderland, Braden. What's the immediate future for you, Braden? And what's your contract situation?
Well, I have another year here in Tampa, so that's the immediate future right now. But you know, in Winnipeg, it could have been. I guess you know, you mentioned at the beginning of the intro there that I was drafted by Atlanta, so I wasn't too far off by playing in Winnipeg one day. But you know, me and my family are super happy here in Tampa right now. But you never know what's going to happen in this business.
It's a great town, and I got to ask you this about that core of players you got there. Braden Point, obviously, would have had my vote for the Conn Smythe. Pretty hard to go against Hedman, but just with what Braden's doing, he was kind of rewriting the Lightning history book for overtime winners. You've seen him since he came in. What's he meant to the franchise?
This kid, he just keeps growing, and his trajectory of improvement is unreal. And I think now you're seeing him develop into more of a leader, and he's you know, this guy is he's just one of those guys you want to be around. He's I don't know how to explain him. He's just a guy, you know, you hear these political candidates down here, he's a guy you want to have a beer with, and that's Pointer. He's just a great leader, unreal hockey player. Just does everything right out there. He's you know, I tell my friends all the time, he's my favorite hockey player to watch. He's just a great all-around guy, and it's been a pleasure playing with him.
I think a lot of people would say the same thing about you, Braden, wanting to have a beer with. But I also got to ask you about your goalie. Andre Vasilevsky played every single minute of the playoffs. And we just had Peter Laborteus on here before you saying he thinks it's going to take a two-goalie system in the next season because it's going to be condensed. That's something for what Vasilevsky did. That's almost rare. Can you talk about your goalie?
Well, if anybody can do it, it'd be him. I you know, we've been in Tampa, we've been appreciating him for a long time. He's one of those guys that is in unreal shape. He's got his legs are as you know, his legs are huge. He's in unreal. He's been training to do this his whole life. You know, when a guy's sitting there and he's stretching and he's got his leg beside his head and his legs are as big as tree trunks, you're just kind of like marveling at the specimen that he is, and him as well. Like I've talked about our team growing, and he's grown as a goaltender, and his mental makeup, the physical skills have always been there, but he's really honed in, and his run was unreal, and we don't get anywhere without that guy.
Braden, last one for you. You talked about the southwest corner of the province, which we're particularly fond of, and I think of Shaunavon specifically, Sean Van Allen, Frontier, our buddy Rhett Warner, and certainly Swift Currents produced a few. What's special about that place when it comes to hockey, and who would you credit to, you know, furthering your career, getting to Portland and into the NHL? What's special about that area?
Well, I think you look, every small town around there has a rink, and you grow up with a group of friends that love hockey, and my friends still love hockey, and I just every day it's just I can't imagine not having hockey in my life, but. You know, you got a group of parents and people that care, and they take care of these rinks, and they put these leagues and teams together, and dedicate their time. You know, for me, I was lucky. I lived in town, and I got to live. I was four or five houses away from the rink, so I was kind of. I grew up a rink rat. I was there all the time, and there's no substitute for that kind of that small town competitiveness and exposure to hockey all the time. And you know, I've been lucky as I'm coming up. You mentioned some of those guys. Like I idolized Sean Van Allen. I remember caddying at his golf tournament in Shaunavon, and when I got to meet Rhett Warner when we were training in Calgary one summer, and Haley Wickenheiser coming to our school and bringing her gold medals. It's just you all of a sudden you see like, hey man, like you work hard and you have fun with this and you put in the time. It's the sky's the limit, even if you're from this place. So. That's a small place like Shaunavon or Frontier or Climax or Gull Lake or any of those towns. It was just a pleasure growing up there.
Well, I don't know if you heard, but there was a record number of kids from the Swift Current area, about a 90-mile radius, that went in the WHL draft and the SJHL draft, more than ever. So it continues, Braden, and now they're aspiring to you. That's a pretty cool story. Although it's got me upset. Let them play! That's my pet peeve on the fact that we don't have those rinks open right now. But Braden, thank you for the visit. I'll say congratulations again, Stanley Cup champion. I can't wait until you get home safely and bring it with you. But thanks for the time today.
Really appreciate you having me on the show. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Braden Coburn of the Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. I know that we have to break, but there's a commercial for Sask Hockey right there.
Absolutely. Right? Born and bred.
Just not just what it means to the players, but what the rinks mean to the towns.
It means so much, right? And you see it at the highest level with Braden, but you see it with the younger players too. And there's so many people that and players that you don't even hear about, and it means even more to them, right?
The great senior players.
The senior players and the kids who are only going to play while they're kids.
We're going to take a timeout and be right back. It's the RP Show. You're watching on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Oh, yeah. He's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm just sifting through the comments of the news that we broke this morning that Edmonton's being looked at as a CFL bubble city. We'll discuss that more in overtime when Dukes rejoins us for overtime. But Ty McGauley joins us from Ohm Hockey Systems here, and it's a wonderful segue. Now, I know you didn't have your headphones on, Ty, to listen to the Braden Coburn chat, but you heard what he said about the importance of minor hockey in Saskatchewan, or minor hockey period anywhere, which is what you do.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Welcome to the show, by the way. Pull that mic right in if you don't mind. Okay. Yeah, there you All go. Right. And it's been a while since we had you on, so let's just reintroduce you to our viewers and just talk about Ohm Hockey Systems, if you don't mind.
So Ohm represents a paradigm shift in the way we train hockey players. You know, our philosophy is that hockey is an obstacle-based game. You know, the only logical thing is to train hockey players on obstacle-based development programs. So we took that philosophy, we made that into a hockey program. And, you know, what makes us unique is that we take that program and we implement it in First Nation reserves. You know, First Nations to us are the most neglected members of our hockey community. And, you know, they do not have access to this level of development. So we can go in there. Due to the nature of our program, we're remotely accessible. So it's perfect to go into, you know, remotely, you know, neglected areas and to implement a hockey development program there.
So please tell our viewers what you told me in the break about the Notre Dame connection.
Well, John Cooper and Braden Coburn both went to Notre Dame. I went to Notre Dame as well, and my entire family actually went to Notre Dame. I was from 2003 to 2006, so Notre Dame is like a big impact on our family. And, you know, struggle and emerge is definitely something that's been a part of our, you know, our lives. And also, you know, they had that saying, to he who does what in him lies, God will not deny his grace. That's a big part of the McGauley family. So, you know, Notre Dame is a big impact, and they've had a big impact on many, many people throughout
the
country.
Luchter et Emergo.
Yes.
Both my brothers went there, too.
Oh, right on.
Long story why I didn't, and that's not why you're here. So with your instructing the First Nations players, I know we kind of got this, we chatted last time, and things have changed in the pandemic, right? We haven't had Yonder in the pandemic, I don't think.
I was on remotely. Once, I think right at the beginning.
Right at the beginning then. Okay. So what's life been like for you in Ohm Hockey Systems in this environment?
We've been expanding. You know, like we're lean, we're light, we're a young company, so we're nimble. And we've expanded. We went into Enoch First Nation, the Enoch Cree Nation up in Edmonton. We're running their entire minor
hockey program. You were just going in there.
Yes.
When we talked. Okay.
Yes.
So how's that going?
It's going great. You know, we're running their entire development program for their entire 105 players, I think they're running through their program. And, you know, we're working to make that as sustainable as possible so that it can, you know, run in perpetuity so that, you know, when long after we're gone, they can run that program. So, you know, this is what we're here to. We're here to make sure things are sustainable and that we can have a long-term impact on First Nation hockey development. So, you know, we said when we first came here that we're going to expand into Alberta, and we've done that. And, you know, pandemic or not, you know, we don't even think about that. We're full steam ahead, and that's how we do it. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding.
The one thing I'm seeing with return to play in hockey, I'm seeing a lot of videos on ice of kids.
Yes.
You can't play against another team, but you can practice.
Yes.
So talk about that and how you're going about things that way.
Well, that's the unique thing of obstacle-based development. You know, the obstacle is the trainer. So you can have multiple people, multiple age groups. Like we had professionals and peewee hockey players on the same ice in the summertime. So, and you can train kids in isolation in obstacle-based development programs. And I think that's something that a lot of communities are looking at right now is, you know, to take this as a training year, to development year, get good, get better, sharpen those skills. And, you know, when this pandemic lifts, you know, we'll get back to normal. And when we get back to normal, we'll be, you know, just at that much of a higher level.
So what, because you work in the industry, I haven't quite figured this out. What are the draft eligible kids doing? Because I know some are kind of losing it, right?
That's tough.
What are they saying?
it's real. It's a wait and see game right now. You know, everybody's waiting and seeing. It's, you know, a lot of it has to do with this vaccine that's coming through. A lot of it has to do with what this second wave is going to hit. So right now, it's, everyone's kind of in the holding pattern, and people are doing their best to you know, develop at whatever rate that they can, whatever rate, you know, is available to them. So,
Well, the one thing I keep hearing from the scouts is that everybody's in the same boat. I'm not really sure what. Can you explain what that means? I haven't quite figured that out yet.
Well, I think in Canada, like, you know, we have access to some arenas and you have access to certain types of development. But everyone is in the same deal because, like, you know, our iron sharpens iron. And the only real way to get, you know, really advanced in hockey is to have games. And, you know, everyone's in that same boat. So I think that's kind of like what they're alluding to.
Has to be. I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
I should ask, what specifically do you mean? But you answered it well. Yeah. By the way, one of our viewers, Troy, and can you please write in, Troy, how to say your last name? Because you comment enough, I'd like to do you the honor of saying your name properly. It looks like Troy Rich. He says, at least Saskatchewan has a plan to return to play for all ages except for the SJHL. Which, by the way, that's on the SJHL. That's not on Sask Hockey or Sask Health. The SJHL needs to figure it out because they've been given the parameters. That's a whole other kettle of fish. But when you talk about Edmonton and your program up there, what does a guy like Ethan Bear starring with the Oilers do for First Nations youth?
Oh, it's incredible. You know, like, First Nation people love hockey, and that's the connection here. You know, when they see someone like Ethan Bear, it lights them up. And, you know, that's basically one of the reasons why we started this program, because we realized, like, you know, how important hockey is to First Nations culture. Like, you know, we are about to go to La Loche up in northern Saskatchewan here. And La Loche is a severely, you know, at-risk community. This is a community that had tremendous tragedy. They had a school shooting not too long ago. They have a suicide rate 20 times the provincial average in Saskatchewan.
Which is high to begin with.
Yes. This is a community in crisis in the very essence of the word. And, you know, it's isolated, it's remote. And this is exactly a community that we're looking to service. So, you know, this is why we're going up there. But, you know, there's a lot of problems with First Nations. You know, there's a lot of problems with their community. And, you know, this is something where, you know, we're finding out as we talk to elders. You know, like, I've had a lot of conversations with people that were in the community that worked tirelessly to help these people. And help the, you know, the elders tell me that the number one problem is trauma. It's trauma related. And a lot of that trauma is coming from residential schools. And, you know, OHM is not an organization that's looking to put band-aids over bullet wounds and say, hey, thanks, you know, thanks for trying, you know, high five and let's get out of here. That's not what we're about. We're here to implement solutions to problems. And this is a massive problem, post-traumatic stress disorder in First Nations community. Like, this, the suicides, the addictions, the alcoholisms, the abuse, the violence, that comes from something and comes from somewhere. And it comes from, most of it comes from trauma from residential schools. And fortunately for us, there is a huge breakthrough in the way that we treat PTSD. MDMA therapy is a massive breakthrough. It's something that people know about now already, and it's having a 70-80% cure rate for PTSD. And it's, you know, in the Pentagon's been backing it since they had that suicide epidemic with their soldiers coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan.
Very popular with military.
Yes, and the FDA just gave it breakthrough therapy status. And, you know, when I'm in, you know, like, just for example, one of the studies they ran with, you know, hardcore treatment-resistant PTSD, 83% of the participants in the study reported no symptoms after 2 to 5 sessions over 2 months, you know. And this, you know, this is something that's incredible. It's almost like a miracle. And when I talk, you know, this is known in medical circles. It's definitely known in mental health circles, and it's known in First Nation circles. And when I talk to elders, they talk to me when this topic comes up, when MDMA therapy comes up, they said, you know, the federal government is responsible for this trauma through these residential schools. The residential schools was a terrible, terrible mistake that we made. The least they can do is give us the tools to clean this mess up, you know, to heal this trauma. We talk about reconciliation. The government always talks about reconciliation for these atrocities that were committed. You cannot have reconciliation if you do not heal the trauma that was inflicted upon these people. And you cannot heal the trauma unless you use the tools available to heal them. And so, you know, they say that, you know, it, and I agree with them. I 100% agree with them. If there's, you know, MDMA therapy has been around for a long time. They've had, you know, studies for 20, 25 years. It's been backed by the MAPS organization. And, you know, this is implemented in, like I said, in the military and elsewhere. And this is something that should be implemented in First Nation reserves because this is a crisis in progress. You know, when you have a community that has, you know, 20 times the suicide rate of the provincial average, when you have First Nation children in the North 11 times more likely to kill themselves than the Canadian average federally. You have a crisis in progress that needs to be addressed immediately. And you know, and I understand there's medical things, there's hoops to jump through, you know, T's to be crossed, I's to be dotted. But, you know, this COVID-19 thing is a perfect example of a medical emergency that, you know, the whole world is pushed behind. When they discovered COVID-19, they said that they'd have a vaccine readily available for the world within 18 months. So that's what we can do if we have our minds and our money pushed behind this and our motivation pushed behind something. And I think something like this, where we have MDMA therapy that we know works, we have the science backing it up, we have 25 years of science backing this up, we have FDA, that, you know, the federal the Food and Drug Administration in the United States declaring it a breakthrough therapy status, we have to implement this into First Nation reserves. And you know, this, we don't have that much time to waste. The house is burning. You know, we have to put the fire out. And in Ohm, we are here to solve problems. And this is a problem that I keep hearing about over and over again. So I'm happy that I can go on a platform like this and talk about it, because this is something that definitely needs to be talked about.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So you see people writing in, great guest, you need to bring this to Manitoba. Where can people find out what Ohm's all about?
You
know,
so
social media channels, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, our website, ohmhockeysystems.com, like omhockeysystems.com, we have everything there. You can also visit True North Aid. Yeah, they're a charity that we're partnered with. They have a Lightning Dawn development program, a Lightning Dawn scholarship fund for kids so that everybody can afford to make this program. You know, with Ohm, we are here to spread this program as fast and as far as possible. And, you know, with obstacle-based development, we're about 10, 15 years ahead of the curve right now. So we want to make sure we get every benefit, squeeze every bit of the drop of that 10 to 15-year window that we have. So, you know, we're on the run. We're spreading the Laurel-Osh. We're spreading it into the Enoch. We're going into different reserves. We'll go into Manitoba. And if anyone's listening to this that's from a distressed community up north, isolated, let us know. We will absolutely go up there and help you. That's what we're here for. So, you know, the door is open. You know, our ears are open. If that's something that you guys want, like, you know, hit us up, because that's what we're coming.
You know? Good for you. Yeah. That's some heavy stuff to do, but I can tell you're passionate about it.
It's work that needs to be done, so we're going to do it.
Good for you, man. Good to see you, Ty.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us on.
Dupes will be back for overtime. We'll be right back. It is the RP Show, Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for?
Don't
just sit there. Say something.
Get it.
Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Okay, we're back for overtime. Talking sports today, and Dupes rejoins us. It's Monty's favorite period of the show, overtime.
Let's go.
How are you? Okay. You just never know. This show is like the Golden Corral of sports talk, right?
Oh, yeah.
A little something for everybody, but it's also a box of chocolates.
You never know what you're going to get.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get that.
So, on the Edmonton bubble thing, this is funny. John in Edmonton is just all over this. He's wanted updates, right? He's always asking for updates, so we gave him one today. He's all over this. He says, I just got an update from a news outlet here in Edmonton about the CFL bubble 2021. Quote, I don't think Edmonton would be high on the list if we don't sort out our COVID issues. Part two, I get that, but Edmonton was chosen by the NHL in part because of the low COVID cases pre-playoffs. So this is kind of what I was hoping would happen. I'll drop the news and people will scurry off in 1,800 different directions with the news.
Right.
Jeff Fairholm, of all people, my favorite Rough Rider ever, has written into my Facebook and said, good on the CFL for investigating this. That's kind of what the report is. You see how people think that it's, oh, they're going to be playing in Edmonton in a bubble next year. Nobody's saying that.
No.
That's a conclusion y'all are getting from this. Not me.
Yeah.
So, there's that. You got a thought on that?
Well, I mean, the thought on that is simply, I don't know, it has nothing to do with low, I don't think it has anything to do with low COVID cases in Edmonton. I mean, you could drop a, I don't know, heat protectant building right in the middle of a volcano, right? The bubble is designed to protect you from COVID. You can go right into the hottest hotspot of all time. Like, it's not like they're leaving the bubble. Like in the NHL, they don't leave the hotels, right? It could be more about they've got the actual partners who have done it, the hotels and the place,
yeah,
to make it happen.
It's all set up.
It's all set up for them to make it happen, right? That's maybe more the idea, but it has nothing to do with the community because the whole idea of the bubble is they're not going into the community anyway. So it doesn't matter if there's a lot of cases or no cases. That part doesn't matter. It's why the NBA went to Orlando, the hottest hot spot in the United States, and it didn't matter.
I like the way you think, Dupes.
Thank you.
But if we learn one thing, Costa, during this pandemic, is people don't know a lot. Didn't we learn that? Yeah, I'm one of them, Costa says. But no, when they were talking about the CFL bubble potentially going to Winnipeg, you saw the response from Bomber fans saying, I don't want COVID coming to this prime, not in my city. Or when Saskatoon was very briefly being discussed as an NHL bubble city. Remember that? Way back, yes, at the start. And people were saying, we don't want COVID coming to Saskatoon. These would be the last guys that are bringing COVID into your town, but they just can't get their head around that.
And they're not going to see you anyway.
You're not even going to see them. So you can't listen to those Rudy Poos. DG in Saskatoon says, by the way, speaking of Saskatoon, morning guys, the ratings for the NBA finals are in. 5.6 million people in the entire United States watched the Lakers clinching game. Compare that to when Michael Jordan won in 98. 36 million people watched. A not-so-sexy Stanley Cup Finals matchup this year got 3 million viewers in the U.S. LeBron wants respect. Ha! Those two leagues are on par in the U.S. now. You never know why. It's very hard to say to somebody, why didn't you watch? It's hard to get those people. Some are saying it was because they went too far in the Black Lives Matter thing. They went too far in the boycotts. I don't know if that's true or not. For instance, when the NFL ratings were down a few years ago, people were saying it's because of the kneeling. It's turned people off. How do we know that? That's a supposition you're making. Go ask somebody why they're not watching as much anymore. Maybe they weren't watching the NBA playoffs because, oh, I don't know, it's August and September and the weather's nice.
Bingo.
That's what you think.
Bingo.
It is?
Like, and you want to come up with reasons, right? We all feel like we need a reason. The reason simply was you just didn't want to, right? You just didn't want to watch. I mean, we do, by nature, we do the things that we want to do, right?
Yeah.
Want to sit by the campfire, or be out on the boat, or go to the beach, or sit inside and watch Netflix. We do what we want to do when we have time, you know? And if you want to flip on hockey or basketball, you will. And if you don't, you won't.
Couple interesting comments here. Donna writing in, she says $14,000 fined to the church group in PA. COVID outbreak. Keep safe. If the NHL did it, we can and still play. You saw that fine by the premier. Woo! They're not screwing around. And Steve Bayaki writes in and says they can investigate all they want in every province. Who says they'll even play in 2021? Well, a lot of CFL staff are still drawing wages. They need to do something. And who knows what the CFL, what the world's going to look like by May. Who knows? If you were watching way back at the start of the show, I said we're 8 months into this thing and Toronto's still down to limited groups of 10 indoors. Right? Who's to say 8 months from now it's going to be any different? Who knows? But if the government says, we'll allow you to play if you follow these guidelines, which incidentally the federal government said this year, the Canadian government said, you can play, follow these same guidelines as the NHL, and you can play. CFL couldn't come up with a plan, couldn't come up with the money. But this is going to be a greatly scaled down Canadian Football League come next June. And by the way, the NFL said last spring, I know I'm jumping around on you here, but what did Trump say? We plan on playing, kicking off week one, full stadiums. Even Dr. Anthony Fauci said at that time, world's going to look a lot different come September than it does now here in April. Well, the world didn't look a whole lot different. Nobody's holding Trump to that. How much? They're all moved on to the next scandal of Trump's. Nobody cared, right?
We live in a different world.
We live in a different world. But the point is, so for the CFL to be investigating a bubble, if I may, I would hope they are. People want to run off in all these directions and get mad and say, what's the world going to look like? Why are they doing this? It's irresponsible. No, it's smart. Blah, blah, blah. Bleh. I think it's great that they're doing this.
It's awesome. I think it's great. And I think as the world changes, I think their plans should change. You know, as we, you know, get deeper into this in a negative way, their plans should change. If we go to a more positive solution, then they should adjust, right? But you have to, you know, execute a game plan, not based on how it was or how you wish things would be or how you, you know, things should be or how they're going to be. You have to execute a game plan based on how things are today, right? Look to the future, be able to adapt, and be open to being wrong if the world changes.
Just a couple more. Mandy in Edmonton says, are the CFL coaches on layoffs? Give us the details, Rod. No, they're not. But as has been printed, most of their contracts are up at the end of December anyways. These guys are going to have to dust off their resumes and find another career for the time being. Sorry to say. Reminds me of a radio guy I knew. Long before the pandemic, they got smoked after 25 years with the radio station. He called me and said, what should I do? I said, find something else to do. Dust off another skill. He goes, I want to stay in radio. I said, then I can't help you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that kid last week that said, I'd like to get into broadcasting, Rod, but I farm and ranch right now. What do you think I should do? I said, keep some cows. Right? Costa liked that. But I said that. And the kid literally said, well, I would like to just focus on one thing. I said, then I can't help you. The poll question, which is Canada's game of the week in week 19 of CFL Sim? I'll remind you that the Riders aren't playing. And right now, leading of the options, Ottawa at Calgary, Edmonton at Hamilton, and Toronto at Winnipeg. The leader is Ottawa at Calgary on Twitter. And what's it on Facebook?
Same. Dave? But holy smokes, 36, 34, 30%.
That's like, what we like.
That's tight.
That's the way, We like the tight polls. So you had 24 hours to vote on this. And we'll be broadcasting it on, I think, Friday night, 7 p.m. Mountain. We're out of here. It looks like Costa needs the studio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. I'm pulling a Seinfeld here, leaving you wanting more. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.